Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new and, dare I say, very special episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joining us from the Great White North, south of that, just somewhere in Minnesota, is John Dam Johnston, our fearless leader at CornNation. John, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's a beautiful wintry night in February where there's been more snow and ever in the history of mankind, ever.
So you're loving it.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Do I sound excited?
You are perhaps overselling it.
Yeah. You know, about this time of year, winter gets a little bit long, mostly because, I don't know, I have a bad attitude toward it anymore, and I shouldn't have that because I live in it. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way. I can't say that I have the complete control of where I live, but you know, I'm sure if we as a family chose to move to a warmer climate, we could. But you know, families here, my folks, her folks, and you know, cousins and you know, siblings, things like that, are all in this area. So here we are, Illinois. And it is what it is.
You know what? You know what? I love the snow. I really do.
Well, you're
insane. We do this snow ice thing, but the worst part about the snow right now is when you're sitting in your car at an intersection and you're trying to see and you can't see because there's freaking massive piles of snow at the intersection. You're like, screw it, I'm going. You know, and you're just going. You're like, just smash into me. I really don't give a shit anymore.
Well, you know what they say, fortune favors the bold.
I heard that somewhere.
I think we talked about that, what was it, last week? 2 weeks
no.
ago? No, fine, be that way. Maybe it was a different show of mine. Maybe it was my other podcast. What do I know? We are speaking of winter, speaking of being cold, we are thrilled. We don't always have guests, as in, you know, as far as outside of the CornNation contributor family, but we are, dare I say, downright tickled to have one of the assistant coaches. Quit laughing, John. He's one of the assistant coaches of the Nebraska Men's Hockey Club. And we're going to talk a little puck this week on the Five Heart Podcast as we're joined by Reed Fuller. Reed, welcome to the Five Heart Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you having me. Looking forward to this.
Did I say it right? Talk a little puck?
Talk a little puck. It works for me.
Fantastic. I hope you are as well-versed on hockey movies as me, because I'm a Blues fan in that I like to pay attention right about now. You know, as we get going towards the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I've seen Miracle. I've seen all the Mighty Duck movies. Mystery Alaska, which we're going to talk about later in the show as well. So, you know, the big ones. I'm sure there are other hockey movies. You'd probably be more aware.
There's only one hockey movie.
Uh-oh.
Wasn't that a slap shot with a handsome
brother? Yeah.
You know, John, you live you live in Minnesota. I thought you would have at least gone with Miracle.
You know, it's nice, and you know, let's go. I'm for the gritty. I mean, you know, that's a really nice. It's a beautiful story. It really is. And Herb Brooks, you know, is on the radio. Well, he was on the radio up here a lot, and it's a great story. But I mean, Slapshot captures the game.
Well, Reed, as you could probably tell, just you know, in listening to John for a couple minutes, I don't think Miracle has enough profanity for John.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of an old school hockey guy, John. So I can see that. I mean, in Miracle, we've heard the story for years, and it's a happy ending. But you know, I kind of lean with John. Slapshot is much more of an entertaining piece, I think, than Miracle. Miracle's the feel good story. I love it. Go USA! But I'm going to stick with Slapshot if I were to rank. I actually have one I'd put above that, but we'll stick with Slapshot for now. So,
well, you do have my attention. What's
the he's already on my side. That's what he's saying.
Well, I'm going to throw Youngblood out there. Young Rob Lowe back in the day playing Canadian Junior, and just getting the whole experience. Me being a former junior player, just, you know, kind of give me a lot of memories. I'm pretty old school. It's not as raunchy as some of the stuff in Slapshot, but it's got its moments. So if you haven't seen Youngblood, I recommend checking it out.
That is going to be on the to watch list. 1986. I might throw that trailer just for fun. I might throw that trailer up on the Facebook and Twitter page. But we're not here to talk about Hollywood's take on hockey. We're here to talk about the Nebraska Hockey Club. Reed, tell me. You know, a lot of people joke, especially when maybe perhaps the Nebraska men's basketball team falters a little bit, and maybe it's time to rethink what winter sport is occupying Pinnacle Bank Arena. But tell me a little bit about the Nebraska Hockey Club. It's been around since, I want to say, 05, but you can correct me on that.
Well, you're partially correct. The club was originally started back in the early 70s by one of our, actually kind of our team GM, Mark Champion. They played for several years in the 70s. Played a lot out in Omaha. They would travel up to Ames and play Iowa State. Then it went dead for a long time. Nobody really kept it going. It was just sort of student run, kind of just for fun back then. It was revamped a little bit in the 90s when the Lincoln Stars came to town here in the USHL. I remember being a kid at Stars games, and after the Stars played, it'd be 11 o'clock at night, and you'd see like 10 or 11 random college guys come out, and apparently that was the Nebraska Hockey Club in the 90s. They went away, and then we kind of got revamped again in 2005. So you were right with that date. We operated, joined the ACHA, America Collegiate Hockey Association. Back then, we were a Division II program. But we've been around ever since, just slowly progressing up the ranks and, you know, building what we have today, and hope to keep expanding.
And it's an impressive run that, you know, this team is on. You know, 28 games that you got in, you know, starting back in September. 16 up, 11 down. You know, we were talking a little bit before the recording started, or before, you know, we started recording for the episode. You know, a lot of teams that you see, you know, it kind of, you know, back-to-back days, as I'm looking at the schedule here. HuskerHockey.com is where any, you know, hockey enthusiast can go to keep up with the Nebraska Hockey Club. But you know, you got some back-to-backs against University of Kansas, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We're joking about Missouri State University, who you will face in a week on March 8th in the regional playoffs, but you know, you got University of Wisconsin-Platteville, you know, another one with Missouri State. Tell me a little bit about the competition as it is. I mean, University of Notre Dame's on there, but Notre Dame also has, I mean, they have an NCAA, like a full scholarship program as well, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And there's quite a few universities that do. Michigan State comes to mind, Minnesota Golden Gophers come to mind. Mm-hmm. The Air Force Academy, who's in our region, has a Division I program. So just because a school has a Division I program, it doesn't take away the competitiveness and the ability of the club programs. Sure. There's a lot of really good young hockey players out there, and most of them are not going to end up at the NCAA level. So what the ACHA does is gives an excellent sort of landing ground for kids to be able to come continue their playing career while getting really good education at the same time. Back in my day, you could play a team that was just as good as you, and then the next week you'd have a team with a bunch of just kind of men's pickup league guys. The competitiveness of this league has grown tremendously in the last 10, 11, 12 years. There's not a team in the country that isn't afraid to play another team in the country, and I think it's just a testament to, you know, A, how many people love the game of hockey and want to keep playing, but B, more schools are putting investment and time and energy and money into building these programs. And it's just great for the sport itself. It's great for kids to continue to have an opportunity. It's great to get new fans to enjoy the game. A lot of markets that have a program aren't necessarily a hockey market. So, you know, overall, the competitiveness just keeps this thing going and moving in the right direction.
Now,
wait a minute. Where do these guys come from?
All over the place, man. We've got...
And let me explain why I'm asking this question. There's like five hockey rinks probably within 5 miles of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How many hockey rinks are there in Lincoln, Nebraska?
We've got two.
Two. Okay, and how many do you think across the state?
Oh, four. I could count them on both hands, I bet.
Okay. So, I mean, where are these guys actually... If they're getting hockey experience and they're growing up playing hockey, where are they coming from?
You know, in our situation in Lincoln at the university, we've got a good chunk of guys from the Lincoln and Omaha areas. Omaha's had hockey for a lot of years. They had a pro team back in the mid-1900s, and they've had University of Nebraska. Omaha's got an NCAA program. They've got really strong youth programs led by former NHL coaches and things like that. So hockey in Omaha's been around for a long, long time. Lincoln, it's been about the last 20 or so years since we got a junior team. With the creation of that junior team, it brought along, obviously, having youth hockey in town, which has developed players and got more kids into the game. And then even Kearney, Nebraska, out in the middle of the state, has the Tri-City Storm, another junior program, which also led to more youth hockey opportunities. So, you know, our team in Lincoln, we've probably got, I'd say our roster's close to 50% native Nebraskans. Some have gone away to play other locations at a younger age, like junior hockey or prep school or different things like that. And then the other half of our roster, we've got guys from everywhere. I've got Minnesota, I've got Illinois, Missouri, we've got Canada, Colorado. It's just, you know, sometimes people just end up in Nebraska for school and wind up getting hockey as a bonus, and it works out for us. But I mean, hockey's a national sport nowadays. I've played all across this country, and I know that there's hockey pretty much everywhere you go now, including Hawaii. So it's a growing sport. People love the game, and it's just you never know where you're going to kind of find a diamond in the rough when it comes to a hockey player.
As I'm looking at, again, huskerhockey.com is where I go for all of my Nebraska Hockey Club information. You scroll down far enough, of course, at the top they have your next game, which is, as I mentioned, it's going to be March 8th against Missouri State, the ACHA Regional, where Nebraska is a number 3 seed. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But you go, you see the schedule, which, as I mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago, 28 games played. But you did take a nice sizable chunk off, you know, December and you know, half of January, you know, for semester break and things like that. But as I look at the team, they have picture of the team. Just going to show the you know, age span of some of these young men coming in. I'm not picking on anybody, Reed. So take that. But you have Willem Gad, who looks like a grown ass man.
He is a grown ass man.
and then right next to him, you look like you have Evan Johnson. No disrespect to Evan, who looks like he's about to enter high school. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Evan's a great kid, terrific hockey player, certainly more so than me. I'm just saying, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, a college, we see it, you know, in basketball, football, you know, in all the, you know, collegiate athletics at any level. But you've got the people who are, you could tell they're upperclassmen, and the guys who just graduated high school. That's a little, it made me chuckle as I was scrolling through the roster there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a little deceiving too, because a lot of guys will come into college as a 21-year-old freshman. I'm an example of that. I played junior until I could age out, so I played nothing but hockey until I turned 21, essentially, before I started school. So we've got a couple of those guys that are, you know, the 21-year-old freshman, but then we've got guys that are, you know, right out of high school and 18. We've even got one guy who spent the first portion of his college life at the University of Kansas, took several years off. Now he's in Lincoln and he's playing for us. He's in his late 20s. So it really is, you never know who you're going to get, but he still has eligibility. So, you know, he's out there grinding with the rest of them. He probably has a few more ice bags every night when he gets home from practice. But yeah, it's just, I'm looking at these pictures now too. It's kind of funny to look at the differences and, you know, who you got out there. It's like the 20-year-old on the NHL team and the 40-year-old about to retire. But
and by the way, to Evan's credit, he is the second leading scorer. 21 goals, 24 assists, 45 points. Only Jordan Hank has more than him, you know, in the same amount of games. And I want to talk about some of these games. As I mentioned, you know, when you maybe have to, you know, travel a little bit, you want to maximize your opportunities. You know, we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, making the most of a road trip, spending a weekend in Lawrence, Kansas. I don't know why anybody would want to do that except you know, going across to Missouri State. But you did get to Albuquerque, and I had been following Husker hockey before that, but seeing some of these pictures, you did the outdoor. It was like an outdoor tournament. The Los Alamos, I'm not going to get it right because, of course, it's you know, shortened on the website, but the Nuclear Outdoor, is that
spectacular, I think was the word. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, Spectrum's not going to be right. Spectator makes no sense. But you got some good competition in there. You know, Northern Arizona, Dallas Baptist, University of New Mexico went 2-0-1. But just tell me a little bit about that experience of you know, being able to take the guys and play outdoors, especially in New Mexico, where most people think it's probably too warm for outdoor hockey.
So I hate to derail this. I actually was not able to make that trip due to some work commitments, but I've heard lots of stories. I've seen all the pictures. I mean, it was an absolutely gorgeous setting. The only downfall, I think, was the championship game ended up getting canceled because of snowfall. So, you know, which was good for the safety of the players and getting the bus out of there and everything else. But last year, I actually had the opportunity to coach in an outdoor tournament. We went to Chicago. And played in the Big Ten Hockey Showcase right outside the Big Ten headquarters in that shopping area there. They had an outdoor rink set up, and that was unbelievable. We stayed right there under the lights. You know, there's bars and restaurants overlooking the ice, and it was really fun. You know, it was kind of weird. One of the days the ice began to melt, so the referee decided, well, let's just put a cone in the corner and play around it and stuff like that. So you see some goofy stuff when anytime you're playing outside. But so, you know, the New Mexico event, I wish I could have been there. The travel schedule is pretty tough this year. So, you know, obviously sometimes the day job has to come first. But, you know, last year in Chicago was an amazing experience. We look forward to doing stuff like that in the future, too. I know next year we've got our schedule pretty much set, but I know Air Force is having an outdoor game at their academy at some point next season. So I'd love to get a club game against Air Force while that's up, but that might be wishful thinking on my part. But so, yeah, I can't tell you what the experience was like at Los Alamos other than the boys loved it. It was a long drive, long snow, but, you know, we'll keep looking to do stuff and just getting our name out there, making those long trips. And, you know, there's Husker fans everywhere. I remember signing autographs in a Denver, Colorado bar when I was in school for a bunch of Husker fans that just happened to see us come in for dinner. So we know that Husker Nation's everywhere. So the more we can expose our brand as a hockey club, I think it's just going to help us get bigger and bigger.
I'm glad that go ahead, John.
So Breslau is your home ice.
Correct. Yeah, the John Breslau Ice Hockey Center.
Okay, and that some guy donated a bunch of money so they could build that thing, and then it took them forever to build it, if I remember that story right.
Yep, right? Pretty darn close, yeah. He's a native Nebraskan, so, committed the money, and the city took its time with getting things organized, but it's a beautiful place now.
Do you guys get, is there a lot of fans that show up? I mean, do you get a healthy support at home and...
Yeah, it's getting bigger and bigger. It sort of depends on the game and the night. We've done, you know, we do well on Friday nights and then sometimes Saturday, especially if there's some other event. Maybe the football team across the street's got something going on. Or, you know, it's tough to compete in Lincoln. It's a major sports town, so there's always something happening. But, you know, Friday nights when we've had special events, we've done a lot of fundraisers over the years where we'll basically auction off our jerseys and donate to the last couple of years. It's been the Buffett Cancer Center. We donate every dime from admissions and donations and the auction to the Buffett Cancer Center, and basically handed the jersey off the players' backs to the winning bids after every game. So that's been kind of our go-to fundraiser, but it just brings people in, and you know, we're trying to do something to better, you know, better people's lives, and you know, getting our name out there is cool. We love having people come, but I think it's bigger than that at that point. But yeah, I mean, we get anywhere from a couple hundred to, you know, I've seen probably close to 1,000 people in there on certain games, but it's just going to need to be more consistent. We need to brand ourselves consistently. You know, social media has been great. I know, Greg, you've been talking to Luke Thompson a little bit to coordinate this, and he does a great job with our Twitter account, but, you know, we want to see it grow. We want that place packed every night. It gets loud. It's a beautiful facility. It's a great place to watch hockey. So I think it's just going to continue to get bigger.
So I can't walk into Nebraska bookstore and buy a hockey jersey.
No, I don't think so. I haven't been into the bookstore in probably 10 years either. But
you get the idea that I couldn't go to Walmart. I couldn't go to Walmart and buy one. I couldn't go anywhere and buy one, right?
So
what the hell's up with that?
I've been told we're working on that. I'm not the marketing guy, you know, but I actually did ask Luke. So the cool thing about the club, too, is all of this is student run. I mean, coaches, we're responsible for, you know, X's and O's, and, you know, we oversee everything, but the guys really do a nice job of just maintaining their own operation. You know, they handle everything from ordering the merchandise and, you know, doing all the social media, You know, they represent us to the university when they have budget meetings with the rec department. They're doing, you know, they're doing the job of like the GM, you know, the head coach.
I thought you were going to say there was like some NCAA restriction or university restriction.
No,
and now I can't rant against the man.
No,
you are not helping.
Sorry, John. No, there's not.
What the hell?
You know, I think those pretty flashy Adidas jerseys that they've got us in this year, those are going to be more tough to come by. But I think we're working on kind of a different solution for that, because there's other schools that they'll sell their replica jerseys online and stuff. So we need to get that up and running, and it's something we're working on. But things have just been happening so quickly. You know, we can think of one thing at a time. We need like a project manager who's telling us, hey, you got to be doing this, 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 and this, and. Like, well, we barely had practice this week, so it'll come, John. And when it does, we'll make sure we get you on. But for now, we'll just have to keep hearing complaints about it until we can get it done, I suppose. But.
This is
you know what? We'll get the word out.
This is timely because as I was texting Reed yesterday to you know verify everything set up, you know, the time and everything else, I asked about you know acquiring one of those sweet Husker hockey sweaters, and he says, man, you're going to have to talk to Luke about that. So what I did earlier today was I said, also, and Coach, I kind of threw you under the bus. I said, Coach Fuller said you're the one to talk about those sweet Husker sweaters, and he laughs. Luke does it. He says, we're looking into ways to make it happen. This is, you know, again, from Luke, who, by the way, not only, you know, runs the social media aspect of it, but, you know, is also on the team. He's a goalie, you know, things like that. He says, we're looking into ways to make it happen. However, going through Adidas is too costly at this time. Our jerseys have a retail cost of around $300 each, so that's a bit pricey for most people. Hopefully we can get some replicas done in time for next season. And I told him, I said, I've paid more for clothes that I couldn't wear. and the reason is that because I know Luke will probably go back and listen to this. I didn't go into detail. He laughs. but I have an autographed Jack Lambert jersey. You know, the Hall of Fame linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Probably my favorite, you know, defensive player of all time. It's autographed, and it was easily $300. So I'm just saying, you know, Christmas, birthday, I'd combine it. You know, I'd make it happen for and those are, you know, Reed, as you said, man, and I shared the picture on social media as a way to, you know, get the word out that, hey, this is what we're talking about on the Five Heart podcast. It is stylish. I like the hockey sticks that kind of outline the state of Nebraska. It's a good-looking jersey. But, Reed, going back to what you said about how, you know, so much of – I mean, this is a club sport. There's no – scholarships. I know, you know, the university helps, you know, work with some ice time and things like that, but so much of this is out of pocket, and the reason that I bring that up is when we you know, years ago when we started the Five Heart podcast, we did it based on, you know, largely, you know, the Nebraska walk-on, you know, football walk-on who's not, you know, a five-star, you know, player, but he's going to be the kid, he's going to be the Andy Janovich who's going to grind out, you know, mm-hmm. and want to be there, want to prove himself, and earn that time. It seems to me, in talk with you and learning about the hockey club, that all these guys are Five Heart, and so that's why I wanted to, you know, shine a spotlight on them, you know, and bring a little bit more attention. I know that as they share this link, you know, on social media when it drops and people listen to it, a lot of them are probably going to be people who are already fans of the Nebraska Hockey Club, but hopefully. You know, there are other, you know, subscribers to the podcast, which is available on almost all, you know, major podcast platforms, that will say, oh, man, I didn't even realize that Nebraska had a hockey club. And you know, go out and support these young men who are wearing that N, wearing that sweater for you know, the school. And like you said, just for the fun of, you know, playing, you know, continuing to play hockey and you know, doing it, you know, before they – you know, maybe go join a men's league somewhere, you know, just, you know, recreationally. But this is a team that has had some success. However, you've got to promise me no more losses to Creighton.
That is the worst loss, in my opinion, we ever can take. And Creighton's got a heck of a team this year. They've come a long ways from back when I was playing them. But, you know, I feel you, just like the basketball pains of many years past, you know, finally got over that hurdle. I think when Creighton got us in overtime – It was kind of a nice get over the hurdle for them, but I don't think we're going to let that happen again anytime soon. But it stings for us as coaches too. It, you know, you treat every other game just like it's a normal game, but there's certain games you get up for, and Creighton's definitely one of them. So,
as we explain to me the postseason process, because you've already
had... No, wait.
Sorry.
I got a question for you.
Okay,
how do you make the team?
Well, you show up first. You know, it's tough, John. I mean, some years we've got 30 guys that show up in August and start practicing with us. And other years, I think last year when we finished the season at the national tournaments, we're one of the final 16 teams in the country out of, you know, 500 some ACHA teams across all levels. And we had 15 or 16 guys by the time that was done. And that's due to injuries and guys, you know, not sticking it out. It's just kind of hit and miss, and it goes back to, you know, the not being a scholarship sport, not being able to offer any assistance. These guys are paying their own way, and sometimes it just, you know, by the end of the season it's a grind and you have to make sacrifices, whether it's with education or a job or whatever it is. But but in the years when we've got a lot of numbers, we've had ideas of fielding two teams, you know, having like a JV squad that would play kind of a split schedule, you know, a little less commitment, fewer games, obviously probably wouldn't be eligible for postseason play. But then for the most part, you know, we will have guys come out in August. Larry and I and Tim Miller, our goaltending coach, we will evaluate and we will, you know, let guys know kind of where we see them fitting in and, you know, tell them about the program, especially if they're new guys and what we're all about. Most of them stay once in a while, but, you know, someone will decide maybe it's not for me. So it just depends on the year. It depends on the group we have, if they stick together. You know, we try to go out and recruit as best as we can, but there's not really a budget for that, so it's tough. So a lot of times it's just the luck of the draw. Who's showing up to Lincoln for school in the fall and who's played hockey before? You know, we've never officially cut anybody. You know, we'll give people an opportunity if it's a safety concern, if someone really can't skate and they're going to get hurt out there. We're going to have that tough conversation to say, you know, maybe it's not for you. But we can only dress 20 or so guys for every game. So even if we had 30 guys and five of them couldn't skate, you know, most likely they're going to be just those practice type players. But yeah, essentially show up and commit and you're on the team if it's a good fit for you. So, you know, it's a player's organization. We're not here to turn anybody away. We love the game of hockey. You know, down the road as we continue to improve and get more guys interested, it probably will be a selection process. You know, if we field two teams, for sure, you know, we'll have the kind of the Division One team and then the Division Two team, whatever rankings we sort of fall into. But you know, right now we're just happy with kind of the numbers we've had, and the growth is coming, and you know, hopefully someday it's a good problem to have. But for now, we got a great group of guys year over year, and it's made my job and Larry's job and Tim's job pretty easy to work with them. So,
do you have a team mascot?
We used to have a guy, a little kid, run out on the ice with his skates and wave a Husker hockey flag around, but he grew up into a high school kid now, so I don't think he wants to do that anymore. But no, we don't have.
So what you're saying? What you're saying? Is if the guy that ran a Nebraska website moved back to Lincoln and he drinks a lot of Guinness, he could just show up and take over that spot.
There's a nice Irish pub a couple blocks from the Brink, too, so I think you might have a home. Or whoever that guy is.
And
whoever that guy, yeah.
Theoretically, would that guy be able to get himself a sweet hockey sweater for his troubles?
Well, I think that would absolutely be part of the deal. I mean, what are you going to run around and dress as the mascot wearing, you know?
Here's the thing. When you're dealing with John Dam Johnston, you never can be sure.
Well, it would be a good problem for us to have if you showed up. But, maybe that's...
Well, you know, I'd rather be homeless in Lincoln than homeless a lot of other places.
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty cold and snowy here. You might not notice the difference, but...
So, Reed, take us back a couple of weeks ago. The tournament, I guess it was the conference tournament in the middle of February.
Yeah,
Nebraska went 3-0, beating Northwestern, and then a couple of schools from up north: Wisconsin Platteville, Wisconsin Milwaukee. We'll hear from at least one of them here in just a minute. But going 3-0, winning it all, and what I like about it, and kudos to Luke. I don't usually offer social media shout outs, but when it was announced last week that Nebraska was the 3 seed. It was, should I say, disappointing? Is that fair?
I think it's safe for me to use that word. I think some other members of the organization would probably use a stronger word. But, yeah, it was definitely disappointing. But, you know, it's out of our control, so it is what it is.
I want to credit Luke because this was a perfectly worded tweet. He said, despite going 7-2-1 in our last 10 games, winning a conference title, beating 6 teams currently in the top 10, we can't jump ahead of a team in the standings that has – and he, you know, like, paused for dramatic effect, beat one team currently in the top 10 and has no conference title. So I think Luke was frustrated.
Yeah, and the thing that goes with that, if we jump that one team, we're automatically the Nationals. We're not even playing next week, and it's something we've never done. So, you know, we were expecting to be playing, and that's kind of what playoff hockey is all about. But, you know, Luke's a very smart kid, and he puts thought into this, and it's funny, and you never know what he's going to say. Sometimes you're worried that line might get crossed, but he usually reels it in pretty good, and it gets some entertaining. My favorite's after a game to kind of catch up if he wasn't playing, just to see the back and forth as he live tweets game action, and it's definitely a talent that he has that some don't, many don't. So,
hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
When you go, you went in, as we mentioned, kind of buried the lead. You won the conference tournament. Is that the West Conference for the NACHA?
So this is, we're in the MACA, the Mid-American Collegiate Hockey Association. Mm-hmm. It's basically 2 divisions in our level. There's a level that's the D2 teams that are the gold division, we're the silver division, and then there's a third tier bronze division. By far, the silver division has the most teams, so we actually have 2 conferences, I guess you'd say. We have a west and a north, or a west and a east. I don't know how it's broken out. We're in the west where we play certain teams, but you accumulate points throughout the year, and then the top 8 teams make the conference tournament. So we were fortunate enough to get in. I think we were the 2 or the 3 seed. We weren't the 1 seed. A couple teams beat us with the tiebreaker. So, you know, we had a tough road in the tournament, but the guys showed up and it was, you know, back-to-back champs. It's pretty sweet feeling to start bringing home hardware from these long trips. So,
as we...
I'll be honest with you. This is confusing. Well, you know what I mean?
Stop.
If you're not Division II, you can't offer scholarships, obviously. You're not Division III either, so you're not NCAA sanctioned, quote-unquote. I'm doing the little bird fingers. You know, not bird fingers. What am I saying?
air quotes?
The quotes in the air quotes. There you go. Jeez, you're not at Division III either.
Bird fingers.
Oh, shit.
I only know about, one bird finger, and it's inappropriate for this moment, sir.
Okay. You're not Division III.
Right? Yeah, it's just, no, we're not. It's sanctioned through the ACHA. There's a lot of acronyms, and you don't need to memorize them. There's not a test. But essentially, the ACHA is our governing body, like the NCAA is for varsity sports.
And there's 500 teams?
Yeah, across Division I men's, Division II men's, Division III men's, Division One women and Division Two women. So there is a ton of teams.
Wow.
ACHAHockey.org is their website. You can find stats and on every team there from every division. Just taking a quick glance there, you'll just, even in our division, we're Division III, and it doesn't sound great, but it's so competitive. It's almost more of like you choose your division based on where you're located, as opposed to, you know, how good you think you need to be. So it's definitely just as competitive as any other divisions. It's just kind of how it's segmented out. But so we do have a governing body. There's, you know, there's rules and regulations. There's obviously postseason play. So the ACHA governs that all. Our conference we play in, it's similar to the Huskers being the Big Ten. You know, you start with the goal, you want to win a Big Ten championship in football. Then you go into your bowl game, or if you're lucky enough to get to the BCS or the playoff system, you go there. So it's kind of how we look at things. We've got our conference tournament. Then we got our national tournament, which starts next week with the regional. So it's kind of conference, and then beyond that is the national scene. So same sort of structure, just these guys aren't getting any money to do it. They're paying money to do it. So,
and it's, wow, you know, for the love of the game.
Absolutely.
And just to, you know, just to get out there and have a little bit of fun, you know, get a little ice time, you know, bang around and go home sore afterwards. It's quite something to pay for that privilege, right?
Absolutely, these guys are nuts, but so keeps me busy and I love it. So
as we mentioned, regional tournament begins March 8th. You have an 8 o'clock puck drop against Missouri State at the All Seasons Center. Now, where is that going? Actually, you know what? I've got this pulled up. It's going to take place at Sioux Center, Iowa.
Lovely Sioux Center.
Well, that's Iowa, so it's lovely for Iowa, maybe. Other teams that are in this Pacific Regional, we mentioned, of course, number 3 Nebraska versus number 10 seed Missouri State. On that side of the bracket is number 4 or 4 seed Wisconsin-Milwaukee against McKendree from my stomping grounds in southern Illinois. They're in Lebanon, and I'm from just down the road from there. Then on the other side, you have 5th seed Creighton versus 8 seed Colorado Mesa and 6th seed Arkansas against 7th seed Wisconsin Platteville. So again, a lot of teams that you have seen in the regular season or up to this point. And as you mentioned, you've got I think this was before we technically started, kind of a friendly rivalry going with the Bears of Missouri State. But you have had success against them this season. So obviously, you know, as you go forward, the old adage, and I'm sure it carries over to, you know, most sports, but, you know, it's tough to beat a team, you know, the same team twice in a season, let alone 3 or 4 times. What's the strategy? Well, they might be listening because they know our Twitter exists. what is the wink-wink strategy that the Huskers plan on implementing, wink-wink, against Missouri State?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to start early. Sometimes we'll come out a little bit flat, especially with travel involved. And it's going to be a battle. I mean, we've played these guys 3 times already. We know them very well. I'm very good friends with their head coach, Cody Blevins. We've coached university all-star teams together in Philadelphia last summer with Larry Coach, Larry Taylor, our head coach. Coach some of his players, so we know what to expect. They're going to be ready to go against us. They get pumped to play us every time, just like we play them. They're well coached. They've got excellent goaltending. They're very balanced in their scoring. So we just have to be consistent with our play from top to bottom and not let them get out to a fast start. We've been playing really good down the stretch. Obviously, getting through the conference tournament successfully. You know, our record in the last 10 being what it is, 7-1-2, I think. You know, we've been playing really good, so I think we're peaking at the right moment. We've had ups and downs this year, so we just need to keep doing what we're doing. We had a couple of really good nights of practice this week. We'll get at it again next week and try to maybe put a little bit more of a specific game plan in. But right now, we're just getting our feet moving and you know, working just as we normally would for any other game. The playoffs, it just amplifies so much. You know, you win, you go on; you lose, you go home. And it's not the fairest way sometimes. Sometimes the best team doesn't always win, but hey, it's playoff hockey, and that's why people love it. And it's going to be exciting. I look forward to playing those guys. You know, I'll say this again, sort of the ranking stuff. I don't know that it's fair that they have to play us the first game. We have to play them. They're a really good team. could have shaked out a little differently in the rankings if you know, the powers that be. I'm not sure how their algorithms work to come up with it, but, you know, that's what we're faced with, and I can't wait to go battle with them next week in Sioux Center.
You mentioned
is there any fighting?
Well, you know, these are college kids.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, is it legal?
It's just like any, you know, in any hockey game, if you fight, you're going to get a penalty. The severity of the penalty is more so than it would be if you're in an NHL game. But if you were to go up to
I mean, you're not suspended in the NHL.
Right,
it's got to be part of the fans, and the fans go insane. I personally don't care for it, but, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to know.
From the guy who loves Slapshot. No.
Yes. fair. Yes.
You know, it is part of the game at certain times, but in college it's really not. And that's what the beautiful thing about the college game is. You know, the skill is what defines the game. And it's not, you know, who's the biggest and baddest and the toughest. You can be 5'7" and be a hell of a college hockey player. So it's, you know, it can happen. Things get crazy sometimes. Like I said, these are college kids. They're jacked up on all kinds of adrenaline. And, they're going to war. You know, I might be friends with Missouri State's coach, but very few of the players are going to get along. And, you know, from now until we play them next Friday, Cody and I aren't doing much talking. But you rarely see any major fights, and if it does happen, then there's consequences to it. So obviously you're going to be thrown out of the game. There's going to be suspensions involved, and it can go up from there. So you don't see it too often, but once in a while, you know, something crazy is going to happen, and you know it'll be someone's first hockey game, and they're going to want to come back, and then it's never going to happen again, and they'll be disappointed. But it's hockey, and it's a physical sport with a lot of temper and a lot of speed. So I
never understood how a guy could skate around the ice with another guy hooking him with his stick on the arm. You know what I mean? It's like somebody constantly nagging at you, and then you not turning around and killing him with a stick, for God's sake.
Well, sometimes
you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, pick and choose your battle, I guess, you know, or if the guy's bigger than you, you know. I learned my lesson the hard way when I was playing out on the West Coast, and in junior I got pummeled every night out, but I was on a really bad team a couple years, and I had to defend some of the younger guys, and, I've had too many fists to the face in my life, and I'm glad hockey has kind of, you know, gotten rid of some of the fighting and some of the physicality that does not need to be part of the game. It's still a physical game, but it doesn't need to be, you know, with the purpose of trying to get somebody hurt. You know,
It doesn't need to be thuggish.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so yeah. And the game is a beautiful game when it's played the right way. So it's, you know, rarely in college will you see a fight. You'll see some, you know, pushing and shoving and stuff after the whistle. Guys sure love to talk shit, but you know, it's, if you saw them in the parking lot afterwards, neither one of them are going to fight each other. So it's sometimes it's funny, it's laughable as a coach to sit back and watch guys yell at each other with a cage in their face, and neither one of them is going to do anything about it. But yeah, it keeps me laughing at times. So,
Coach,
okay, Greg, you can ask your serious questions for a little bit now.
No, I don't really have any serious questions left. I did open it up. Both on Facebook and Twitter, I said, hey, we're going to be talking some Husker hockey. If you have a question for our coach, then, you know, fire him, you know, this way. And I only had one question through Twitter. And it comes, you know, look, you can be as anonymous as you want on Twitter. However, this person is not anonymous. Chris is, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. It's only four letters, but, you know, I've got a tough one.
I know exactly who it is without even looking.
Okay. And all,
that guy!
All I know is that he says Mo State, which, of course, is Missouri State. But he's from Pittsburgh, and he's wearing a Steelers jersey, so I can't hate him too much. He asks, and by the way, this question got three likes. One from a Wisconsin Platteville player, and another from another Missouri State player. I'm assuming Chris is a player. And he says, what kind of six-pack do you want for the golf course next Saturday? # bear up. Meaning that he thinks that Missouri State will dispatch our beloved Husker Hockey Club and send them to an early off season. I, however, disagree. Reed, what do you say?
Well, the young man who asked that question, he's a good kid. I actually had the privilege of coaching him in Philadelphia last summer as part of our All-Star team. That being said, I think he's probably being dead serious on that comment. I know they're going to be ready to play. Our guys are going to be ready to play too, and you know, I think the best team is going to come out on top. I hope it's a good game. It's too damn cold around here for any of us to be playing golf. So I don't know that I need to answer the question, whether it's for him or for me, but, it's good stuff. It's fun to see that stuff back and forth. It's funny that it's a Platteville player liking it. Some of those Platteville guys were on that group of guys that we coached in Philadelphia. So, you know, yeah, we're going to hate each other over the next week, but some of these guys have got to know each other during the courses of their career. It's kind of cool to see the different relationships that come out of it. And, it's competition. It's that whiteboard material you put up, but, when it comes to puck drop at 8 o'clock next Friday night, I know both teams are going to be ready to go, and it's going to be a battle for sure. So may the best team win, but hopefully it's the Huskers from Lincoln here. So,
Coach, is there a way that people can follow along? I know you said Luke, if he's not dressing, he's live tweeting, but also it seems like on the Twitter feed on occasion, or maybe it was on Facebook, maybe there's a live stream for YouTube or something like that. Is there just a way that fans, who want to follow this team throughout the remainder of the postseason can follow along and maybe watch a game or catch an online stream or something?
Yeah, there for sure should be. I know so Dort College is the school in Sioux Center, Iowa that's hosting this. They're not in the regional, but we're using their facility. They do have streaming technology in their arena, so they stream all their home games when we played there. So I don't know 100%, but when we hosted regionals in Lincoln recently, we've had a live stream. So my guess is they will have it for sure. The Nationals have it. The Nationals is a full-on production. With commentators, between period interviews with coaches and players, it's professionally done. It's really cool. But we'll make sure as soon as we have the information on a live stream for next weekend, Luke's super good about getting that up on Twitter. We'll send a note to you. If you want to share it for us, that'd be awesome. The more people watch, the better. We'll have that information. I just don't know if we'll have it available yet. So.
Well, that's all right. That's the benefit and why I wanted to make sure that we had this conversation. If we dropped this conversation on March 8th, then I think we'd be, throwing it last minute to a lot of people. But hopefully now, they got a week to maybe familiarize themselves with the Nebraska Men's Hockey Club and get ready for next Friday night, March 8th, when the Huskers take on the Bears from Missouri State. And the good people, except we don't like them this week, yada, yada, that whole rigmarole. So, Coach, here's the thing. I know you're pressed for time. You mentioned, a good week of practice this week and certainly, in the following week ahead of that regional game. But practice is like 8:30, 8:45 at night, how does that affect, the guys who, classes, jobs, things like that? I mean, that's got to – obviously when we get to this point, hopefully, at least their employers would be a little understanding. I don't know if professors would be, but how does that work when you're getting to practice when, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not nearly as old as John, but I feel old quite a bit, and 8:30, 8:45 is about my bedtime these days. So, how does that work from the mind frame?
It's easier on them than it is on me, that's for sure. The time actually works well. The rink is right down near campus. Most of the guys live in the area. We've had some pretty shitty time slots in the past before we had Breslow to rely on. So it seems to work for guys that, have night classes, have jobs, part-time jobs, full-time jobs, whatever it is. So it's just kind of where we've fallen into. We could probably look at making changes, but it's just being consistent. We have more practices per week than most club teams in the country. We're on the ice 3 nights a week. So like I said, it wears on me a hell of a lot more than it does on these guys. When I get home, usually my wife and kid are in bed already. So I can then unwind and watch SportsCenter and kind of get ready for the day all over again the next day. But, it's not bad. We used to practice out of the ice box, where the Lincoln Stars, the junior team plays. And when I was in school, we practiced like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. So, it's not as bad as it could be. Sure, it'd be great to get off work at 5, go to practice at 6, and be home for dinner at 7. But you know, in the best interest of the kids, I think the time slot works, and, you know, just a couple of grumpy coaches who wake up tired and sore in the morning, but we'll live, so.
John.
You know what? I can tell you what six-pack of beer you bring to a guy that doesn't specify six-pack of beer when you lose.
Which PBR?
Yes. Yeah. You know why that is? You ever seen anybody happy drinking that shit?
You know, I was sitting at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and I ordered it on purpose just to see. And you know what? I was like, okay, now I can say I've had a PBR. Moving on.
Yeah. The first swig of that shit is the bitterness and the anger of all those guys in the 70s losing their union jobs. Huh? So when you're young and you taste that stuff, you're like, why do I feel like this? And then the second one is you being punched in the face, you know.
It's funny. I remember in college, I worked at a bar in downtown Lincoln, and I mean, it's kind of like the downtown scene, and it's all college kids, and kids would come in and order PBR tall boys. Like, why? This bar has everything. And then it's like, well, I only have a dollar. Well, okay, that explains it. But so I think it's kind of a correlation on, you know, what you're willing to spend. But yeah, I never thought of it about that, you know, that way, but I haven't seen too many happy folks sitting on the side of the street with their need food sign drinking a PBR that look happy. So I'll just leave it at that. So I'll get, if that's what that player wants, I'll be sure to get him some PBR. But I would step my game up if he wanted something a little bit nicer. So,
Reed, I can't thank you enough for spending some time. It feels like a very quick hour or so has gone by. I know you've got practice tonight, so definitely want to let you go and concentrate on it because you've got some more hardware to bring back to Lincoln. Looking forward to following the Husker hockey team through the rest of these playoffs and beyond because, you know, as I mentioned at the outset, I'm a hockey fan at the novice level. You know, when Lord Stanley Cup playoffs start to begin, that's when I really start to take more interest. But, you know, 2019 and 2020 is when I'm all in on Husker hockey from the beginning. I got on the train a little bit late this year, and I apologize to all of our listeners for that. But I'm excited to share results, share information as much as I can, help get the word out for the Husker Hockey Club in any way that I can. Thank you for your time. Thanks to Luke for helping us set this up. I told him I'd give him a shout-out as well. Good luck next week against Missouri State to beat the Bears and keep going.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Had a blast. I'm welcome to come back anytime you'll have me, or any of us would, I'm sure, but appreciate
it. Careful what you're saying there, buddy.
Hey, man, I had a lot of fun. Maybe it gets worse, but hey, no, appreciate the support. We'll keep you guys posted, and go Big Red, right?
Yeah.
John.
Thank you.
John, I have his cell phone number. So
I'm not in trouble. Yeah, you poor bastard.
I'll use it responsibly. I hadn't even saved the contact yet, but I'm going to now. But I'll use it responsibly. And John, more good news, because guess who's coming back to the show next week? John?
I don't know.
Who's the third member of the tripod?
It slips my mind.
Who else drinks Coors Banquet? Reed, this is taking way too long. Haas is coming back next week.
Oh, that guy. You mean that guy that writes our X's and O's stuff when he bothers to do anything? That guy?
Haas, don't listen to him. We know you're very busy with work and school. And student teaching.
Reed, you still with us, Reed?
Yeah, I'm here, John.
Do you ever drink Coors Banquet, for God's sakes?
Absolutely not.
I mean, what kind of, if you partake in adult beverage, what is your choice?
Well, in Lincoln, it's, you know, kind of a Busch Light town, but I'll drink anything if it's put in front of me, but usually in my fridge, it's a Busch Light or a Bud Light. Keep it simple. But
I like the put anything in front of me kind of attitude. There you go. Now, you're welcome back anytime.
John,
appreciate that.
John, don't forget, to commemorate Haas's return next week, we are drinking Coors Banquet on the show.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm going to go and get my one tall boy so that I can say I've had one. I'm not going to buy six because they'll just go to waste. I don't drink that crap. But to celebrate Haas's return, you're damn right, we're going to drink some Coors Banquet next week on the Five Heart Podcast. And Coach, you mentioned it, you said Go Big Red just a few minutes ago. We always end the show a certain way. I'm going to say what I always say, and then John will say Go Big Red. If you don't mind, and especially since the occasion is a week away, would you finish us out by saying win the damn game?
Absolutely.
All right. So that is it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. If you hear crunching in the microphone, my son is sitting in my lap now eating like essentially it's a Funyun. And that's fine. I mean, who doesn't love Funyuns at 8 o'clock? But you know what? We're going big in our house. So for myself, Greg Mahochko, for John Dam Johnston, for our very special guest representing the Nebraska Men's Hockey Club, Coach Reed Fuller, we remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red!
Win the damn game.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.